हरि
ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, chapter 4, Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. First breakdown. Gopakumar visits Braja and again meets his guru. Gopakumar is transported to Vaikuntha. He waits at the Vaikuntha entrance gate. The difficulty in describing Vaikuntha's glories. Gopakumar is escorted into Vaikuntha. He sees Lord Narayan. Narayan greets Gopakumar. Gopakumar takes up a residence in Vaikuntha. Gopakumar is advised to behave properly. Gopakumar misses not seeing the pastimes of Gopal. Narada sees Gopakumar's distress and talks to him. There's no higher abode than Vaikuntha. All the creatures in Vaikuntha are associates of the Lord. The Lord's incarnations and deities are all transcendental. The Lord's consort joins him always and is equally transcendental. Material nature is Mahalakshmi's inferior expansions. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees. Gopakumar asks why Puranas criticize deity worship. Narada replies, explaining the glories of deity worship. The Lord becomes subordinate to his devotees. Narada advises Gopakumar to visit Ayodhya. Gopakumar goes to Ayodhya to find Lord Ramachandra. Gopakumar sees Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra greets Gopakumar. Lord Ramachandra sends Gopakumar to Dwarka. This fourth chapter describes the transcendental reality of Vaikuntha and the appearance and qualities of its inhabitants. The chapter glorifies the deity forms of the Supreme Lord and extols the position of Ayodhya above Vaikuntha and of Dwarka above Ayodhya. Gopakumar visits Braja and again meets his guru, verses 1 to 9. I wandered alone, observing on the earth a splendor I had never seen anywhere. Taking up residence in a forest, as if in a daze, I forget everything from before. The first part of the chapter shows that Sri Brajabhumi in Mathura district is superior to every other place in the material universe, and even to the abode of liberation. Right, so we see is that he's in Braj, he goes to other places, comes back to Braj, goes to other places. But even though these other places keep getting better and better and more superior, still they're never better than Braj. Yes. Right? And they're changing while Braj is always remaining the same. Yes. Right. Taking up residence again in the various forests of Braja, Gopakumar was so enchanted that he forgot everything the associates of Lord Narayan had told him about how to attain the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. The very name of this district, Mathura, implies that it charms and agitates, literally churns, matanati, the mind of everyone who goes there. Verse 2. In the course of my playful wandering, I came to Mathura, Sri Madhupuri, where I heard the Bhagavatam and other scriptures from the local Brahmanas. By the grace of the Lord of Mathura, Gopakumar obtained everything he desired. Following the regular parikrama path, he eventually arrived in Mathura city. Then the devoted and learned Brahmanas of Mathura taught him the essence of the revealed scriptures, primarily as given in Srimad Bhagavatam, and a few other texts that faithfully follow the Bhagavatam on the science of Bhagavat Dharma, Bhagavat Bhakti. Right, so for us then the Bhagavatam is the central literature, and then those literatures that are in support of Bhagavatam, those are then the most important to us. Right? So that would basically mean the works of the Acharyas for us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they're all written about Bhagavatam or aspects of Bhagavatam. So that's for us the most important.
So this.
Yes, like this. This, you know, those by the Goswamis.
Yes.
but
yes,
basically. So, because the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic literature, which means all the Vedic literatures were compiled in their form, mm-hmm. then the so that because people can't read all of the Vedic literatures, then Vyasadeva thought, well, I should write one that by reading that one book you get the benefit of all the Vedic literatures. So that was Mahabharata. But it emphasized more the aparavidya, it means it was more kind of in proportion. Because you have one book that's transcendental knowledge, 13 books that are not.
Yes.
Right? So the volume is greater in the, you know, the material knowledge than in the transcendental. So the Mahabharata basically replicates that. So all aspects of Dharma and culture and everything like that, but all connected to the Lord. But the volume of the aparavidya is so great that people basically get distracted by that.
Yes.
Right? So then Narad Muni says that this is not complete. It's not proper. You couldn't say that this is fully the essence.
Keep turning.
Yes. So then he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then of Vedic literatures, if you have Bhagavatam, you actually have all the Vedic literatures.
And it actually includes also the upper of the
Yes, everything's there. But if you want some detail in it, then you go to the aparavidya because you don't need it. But how it connects, just like Pritumarsh, reading about him, then we see what's the most important thing we're learning. Right? We know he protects the citizens.
But how not to be attached to it?
Yes, but his position of devotion to the Lord, seeing it all in connection with the Lord, encouraging the citizens in their devotion, you know, so all these things are being brought out. Right, so that being brought out, now if you want to know some detail of technically how to manage the kingdom in a certain way, that's going to be given in Arthashastra and other literatures, Dharma Shastra, Arthashastra. Right, so then for that detail you go there, but most important is not how you the technique of how you run it, but it's how to be Krishna conscious while you run it.
Yes.
So many times devotees ask, well, I have my job, I go to work, I sit in the office all day, I'm in traffic, how do I remain Krishna conscious?
Yes.
So that's what the Bhagavatam is showing, is how in these situations these individuals remain Krishna conscious. And then the details of, you know, which computer key to push and you get what result, that there's a book for that. You go look at that. Right?
The classic, how do I keep the balance between my material life and my spiritual life?
Yes.
It's a two different lives.
Yes, yes, basically like that. Because the point is it's just seeing that what you call material is actually Krishna's energies. It's indirect, you know, everything is in power, but it's indirect. Then that's how you do it. So Bhagavatam gives all that technical points, how to do that. Because it's not about, well, how do I apply it, you know, how do I apply it to my keyboard? How do I apply it to my mouse? No, there's a general principle. So the Bhagavatam then shows that. Now, if you want to know technical detail how you use your computer, then you look at that book. But if you want to know how to connect your life to Krishna, which is more important, right? In other words, one may say, no, but you know, without a job, you know, you can't eat and all that. Okay, so now you're eating. Your dog's eating, and he doesn't even work. The birds are eating; they don't work. The elephants eat; they eat 10 times what you eat, and they don't work. So then, you know, this whole thing, you have to work. Okay, great, you're working. But now you're eating. So now you're, okay, you brought yourself up to fed animal status instead of starving animal status. Okay, now what?
Happy.
Yeah. Okay. Guess we close the conversation here. Nothing done. Okay, you know. Okay. So then the whole idea is that you bring it to how to be Krishna conscious in that situation. So that's the uniqueness. That's what's special. That's what others can't explain. Right? Because we're taking it that the technical detail is the big thing. It's not the big thing. Right? Because why is not the big thing? Now, if Krishna, who is the big thing, is so difficult to understand, right? Because he's the sum total. Now a portion is always easier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I take one thing, like how to change the tire on a car,
mm-hmm.
right, that's a lot easier than the whole mechanics of the whole car. Right. So if I'm just dealing with the material energy, That's going to be a lot easier than dealing with the complete personality of Godhead. So, therefore, the technique required to manage it takes actually less intelligence than it does to understand the spirit. Right? Then within less intelligent, there's those who are more intelligent and less intelligent. Right? But so, that means if you can understand the spiritual, why wouldn't you be able to understand the material? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Can we say that the literature of Aparavidya is much bigger because most of the jivas just want to be happy in this world? That's why so much knowledge.
No, because it gets so much into detail. Right? The principle is simple. Like cooking. You cook something that's edible and tasty. It looks nice, it smells nice, it tastes nice, you know, and it's edible. Right? Does that make sense? Like cookbooks, you know, it's like you have, it's made out, maybe made out of ping pong balls and all kinds of stuff you can't eat. So it should actually be edible. You know, the cookbook looks good, but you can't eat it.
Important detail.
Huh?
Important detail.
Yeah, yeah. So all those times that you're getting thinking, wow, that looks good,
yeah,
you know, but it's not edible anyway,
yeah.
So don't. Is that? So that's what you're trying to do. So how much is that, you know? Essence of cooking, you know, it's a one-page pamphlet. Does that make sense? So now you can get into the major next things, which would be the details for that, right? So then that's going to make your various categories. Then with each of those, they have their secondary aspects, right? So that's going to start getting more volume. So as you extend the secondary, it just gets bigger and bigger. So the Vedas are extending the secondary to whatever level, to the extent that someone actually works with the material energy. Does that make sense? So that takes it very, very far. Does that make sense? So depending upon who you are. So all of the aparavidya is not for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Certain people, then they focus in certain areas. Before, they would know everything, but they would practice a particular area. But they would know it all. But nowadays, most people don't know. They only know their particular area. Like someone knows Sanskrit, he just knows Sanskrit. He doesn't know something else. The astrologer knows that. The Vaidya knows that medicine. The Vastu guy knows that. Maybe they know a little bit from other things. Paranika knows that. So they don't know. But before, one person knew everything. You studied the Veda, you studied the whole thing. Does that make sense? So you knew everything. Then you may have your areas where you focus according to your duties or nature.
It's more related in the material world. No,
it's also what they do in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, they see everything connected to the Lord. But there's the technique. Just like in the spiritual world, you learn how to play a musical instrument. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's technique, how you hold it, what different notes and things you can get. But there, because of the nature of being perfect, you don't make mistakes in that. So therefore, then, you know, with some minimal training, then, you know, eternally you can expand on that because you understand from the principles down. How many things can you do? You can put your fingers on notes, move up, move down. You can slide. You know, you can pick. You know what I'm saying? You can bend. You can bend and slide. Mm-hmm. Bend, slide, and pick. You know what I'm saying? How many things can you do?
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? You know, they come up with tons of things. Maybe there's 20 things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, like that. And the technique of picking with the other hand. How you do. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to get the note. The whole point is you want to manifest the note that's proper for expressing the particular mood at the appropriate time of Radha and Krishna. Right? So that means the technicality of this is just how that can be manifest. You know, you want to get a particular effect in cooking. Then there's the techniques that will bring that out. You understand? So all these things are there, so someone will know a particular area, they'll develop in that way. So in the spiritual world, you learn all that, you know all that. But it's not that it becomes a major thing, because its importance is simply its connection to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Because otherwise, they're just part of the culture. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it, is there anything that Prabhupada didn't know? No, if you think about it, as far as whatever we use in the society, whatever anybody's doing, he knew all that. And he, in fact, he even knew that some of the stuff we do now wasn't even worth getting into. And he made it very clear. Right? So he knew all these different things. But you don't think of him as a manager, or as a musician, or as a cook.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because these are just the culture of what... the opera avidya is how you express your, the essence of the paravidya, or that love for Krishna. Right? In other words, paravidya is to... So you can understand the primary. And the opera is the secondary, and its various ways it can be engaged in the Lord's service. That's its purpose. Whether people catch that, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? So by the evidence, most people don't.
Yes.
So let alone how much you would think of Krishna when you're dealing with avidya. Right? Because in the Vedic sense, apara vidya, that's considered material. Right? And then avidya is just not even dealt with.
I mean, until you're connected.
No, like on the Upanishadic level, apara vidya is already considered ignorance.
Yeah.
Because the point is, it's just a matter of matter and spirit. That's telling that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then dealing with the mundane, that's for mundaners.
Yeah.
Right, but when you extend the full, then the apara vidya is how you'll connect your conditioning and everything to Krishna.
Yes.
And so avidya means that same knowledge not connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Right, but the problem is that apara vidya not connected to Krishna becomes avidya.
Yes.
So apara vidya technically means it's connected to paravidya.
Yes.
Right. So. Aparavidya is knowledge in support of paravidya. Mm-hmm. So when you have knowledge that's not in support of paravidya, that's avidya. So therefore you have Vedic knowledge is aparavidya. Non-Vedic is all avidya. Because it's not designed for knowing about...
It's designed for sense
gratification. Yeah. You know, it's just like if I get into, auxiliary modal... how does that show relationship? It doesn't. So they've gotten into such technical detail on something that by knowing it, how does it actually enhance my understanding of relationships and people's interaction, which is what communication's for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if I understand everything in connection with the verb,
yes,
then that shows, because the verb is the interaction between the individuals. It shows the dynamic of the relationship. So therefore, if I connect the whole grammar to the verb, then I have something. Because if I just have nouns, then they're static.
Yes.
But the verb is dynamic. But the verb has no meaning unless it's connected to the nouns.
Mm.
So therefore, the dynamic of how the verb connects to the nouns, and then what words enhance those connection.
The verb represents masculine. Principle
of
noun, can we say
the verb you could say is the avideya.
Yeah.
Okay. You could say this means that the subjective is the masculine, the objective is the feminine.
Okay.
And then the verb is the interaction. But it means it's based on the action of the masculine, but according to the nature of the feminine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the verb is able to work with both.
Yes.
So it has to have that dynamic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So if you deal with grammar like that, there has some meaning.
Yes.
then you understand it'll enhance relationship. Otherwise, people nowadays don't know what relationships are because they actually don't. The method they use to communicate doesn't carry it.
They also don't know what grammar is.
They also don't know what grammar is, yeah. So that's the whole idea is before is all these things were for a relationship. We just think, oh, they're trouble or they're... You know, so many things we think. Why? Because there's some restriction. But that restriction is, as we said before, is so that whatever you're doing is connected to the Lord. So you're not under the modes. You're right? Means if you're following all the Vedic rules and not devotional, then you're still under the modes, but under higher modes. And now if you take that and connect it to Krishna, it's the best. That's why we prefer the Vedic. The whole idea is that Yukta Vairagya means you can use anything. Yes, the principle is there, you could use anything, but why would you use something inferior when superior is available?
Okay.
That just means attachment.
So again, if you can use anything, then you can't say that and then have preferences at the same time.
Yes, you can't say yes. You can use anything and then say we can only use this.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. In other words, that's only being used as a tactic to get rid of any opposition.
Yeah.
Right?
So you're using...
It's like this. We're not this body, so therefore it removes the bodily identification. So that it would make it sound like everybody can do everything. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, I'm going to fulfill all my feminine needs by that.
Yes.
Every last one.
Yes.
Without having to deal with or consider any social aspect. Just like the men always find the ladies kind of trip up the smooth running of getting things practically done. The girls also find that the men trip up the smooth running of the emotional.
Yeah.
So you just either remove the men or remove the women, and that's that. So you just do that by saying you're not the body. But what are you going to do? It's not that you're doing something transcendental.
Yeah.
You're just fulfilling your own conditioning.
Yes.
You know? You know what I'm saying? Yes. So that's it there, you know, or just surrender, Prabhu, means just do what I said.
Yes.
Not about connecting to Krishna, saying like this. You understand? So the principle is correct. But when it becomes applied, the detail shows that the intent, there's something wrong.
Basically, you surrender so I don't have to.
Basically, yeah.
Yes.
But it just makes it work easier. So in other words, we use the philosophy just like we're discussing. We use Dharma for Artha or Artha for Kama.
Yes, exactly.
Like that. Mm-hmm. So the same way is it doesn't mean you can't use the bhakti for that, or in this case, the Vijnanamaya, you know, the platform of the soul. So these things are just brought out to bring out some other aspects. So that's where we have to discriminate.
Yes.
Because the principle is correct.
Yes.
But in applying the detail, you see that something goes wrong. Otherwise, if it doesn't matter, then it'd all be good.
Yes.
You know, not that, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, then it's all there, but we discriminate on this side.
Yes.
Right? So, therefore, what we choose is not because of our taste, it's because of Krishna's taste and the Acharya's taste.
Yes.
Because it says what the great personalities do,
yes,
that Sadachar is taken as authority.
Yes.
Anyone can discriminate.
Anyone can discriminate.
But not anyone has the same capacity to discriminate this.
No, it means everyone can go to that depth. Now, how much technical points they may know is another thing. But the actual realization of Krishna consciousness that anybody can do. It's not dependent upon the material qualification.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
of education, yes, knowledge, intelligence, all these, yes, things. You know, it's based on the devotional side.
Yes.
And so because of that, then...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. That's why it's universal.
Yes. Yes.
Well, these others, then you'd have to have a particular mentality. Three. After rightly understanding the meaning of devotional service in its nine forms, I came to this forest, and as soon as I arrived, I met my divine spiritual master. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the qualified Mathura Brahmanas, at last Gopakumar systematically learned the science of devotional service, right? Because I think the Vaikuntha Vasis pointed out he didn't know that. You know, he just knew that he liked chanting the mantra, and he had faith in Krishna and Guru. And so we can see how far that will get. It's you know, it does wonderful. But it's showing that by actually hearing Bhagavatam and studying and learning, then you can also get more.
Yes.
Like that. It just makes it easier. He learned what is favorable and unfavorable for bhakti. Or in other words, what a devotee should accept and what he should reject. This knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma enabled him to properly value the association of Sri Vrindavan Dham and of that special resident of Vrindavan, his spiritual master. Otherwise, he liked Vrindavan.
Yes.
And he liked his spiritual master. So based on just that mood, then he was getting so far.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can actually discriminate and tell what's, you know, spiritual and not, it just will make it so much easier. Right? Does that make sense? Means if you can come by that mood of like and don't like to the platform of prema, then fine.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about all the technical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll actually automatically know the technical knowledge, because if you know Krishna, you know all the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if by coming in contact one doesn't immediately come to that platform, then better to do the study. You know, it's recommended. We see all the acharyas recommend it and everything. So, therefore, it's not a bad thing.
It's also said in Bhagavatam that you study Bhagavatam to progress, but then when you're at prema, you study Bhagavatam because it's nice.
Yes, it's taste. Just
relish the taste.
Yes, relish the taste. Like, I think some devotee was saying, you know, he wanted to go to Radhakund and probably ask why. And it says, you know, to preach. You know, to preach to all the Babaji's and that, you know, that, you know, get out there, you know, ghosty and undy and all that kind of jazz. Prabhupada says, no, you go to Radhakunda to taste. So, yes, that's the point. So that's why it's the means and it's the end. That's what's so perfect about it.
And I also saw this way in morning that I think Brahma, he studied three times the Veda.
Yes.
So it means to relish, even to go into the study, we need to go maybe to different level of understanding.
Yes. We just didn't want to freak you out that it's actually a 36-year course.
No.
So next year we start on the Gita again.
No, it's, in other words, one's always studying.
Yes.
There's never a time when one finishes study. Like that. That's the idea. So one is always. But studying something three times, then it's considered you know it nicer. Because the first time you get familiar with it.
Yes.
Right? The second time you start seeing the different connections. The third time then you can actually overall see. So in other words, the first time is just reading. The last time, you know, you get the benefit of the reading.
Yes.
Or the seriatim, right? But the last time you get the of the elucidatory. Right? And the second one will be what's the bridge in between.
Yes.
You start to see the connections and stuff like that.
Yes.
So here, as we see, is also in going through the Bhagavatam, since it's a complete work, that you go through, and it's presenting the same thing over and over again at deeper and deeper levels.
Yes.
You know, and showing how this level, so if we say the second canto thinks these things of being self-satisfied, it's only because then it won't progress further in devotional service. But to get one from the mundane platform up to the liberated platform,
yes,
you're not going to beat that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, because if you were already so absorbed in hearing and chanting, then you would already be getting the benefit, and then you'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you don't appreciate it, it means you need it.
Yes.
This knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma... Okay, yes. Four, he appeared splendid just as before, and when he saw me lying prostrate before him, he joyfully embraced me and offered his blessings. Thus, my all-knowing master showed me his extreme mercy. In all the time that Gopakumar had been away on higher planets, his spiritual master had not changed. So it was easy for Gopakumar to accept that the spiritual master was both an incarnation of the Supreme Lord and a Rasik expert in the unique mood of Brajabhumi. The spiritual master showed Gopal Kumar complete mercy by teaching him enough about devotional service to lead him through the entire process, up to the stage of full realization. Being omniscient, the spiritual master was competent to perform this service. Right, so, so in other words, the spiritual master represents the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's the Lord who's taking care of the disciple through the medium of the spiritual master. So what you require, what you need, then Krishna will reveal.
Yes.
Like that. So. 5. Receiving his grace, which revealed to me the most confidential secrets, I followed his instructions by practicing bhakti yoga without interruption. Right, so now it's very stable.
Yes.
Such a flood of pure love of God so quickly awakened within me that I lost control of myself. I was unable to do anything but chant the Lord's glories. O Sri Krishna, Gopala, Hari, Mukunda, Govinda, O Nanda Kishore, Krishna, O darling son of Sri Jashoda, please show me your favor, O life of the divine cowherd girls, O Lord of Radhika. On his visit to Brajabhumi, Gopal Kumar quickly achieved the perfection of prema bhakti. This prema so overwhelmed him that he was unable to do anything but sing the Lord's glories. He could not even perform proper worship. To show his student how he was performing Nam Samkirtan, Gopal Kumar here chants a few of the Supreme Lord's favorite names. So Gopal Kumar learned from his guru, and now he's teaching his students.
Yes.
Right? Like that. Eight. Thus I called out to Krishna and sang his glories in various ways. At one moment I danced exuberantly, at another sobbed out loud. Like a madman I wandered here and there according to my whims, forgetting my own body and everything else. So here the whims are always absorbed in Krishna. Right? Mm-hmm. So here to keep from being whimsical,
mm-hmm.
right? Because here whims are material, therefore we follow Shastra.
Yes.
Right? But when you come to the point of complete attachment where all your feelings and that are all connected to Krishna, then you're on the yoga maya. So the scripture defines that. Right? So in other words, the scripture is showing how that is done, at the same time what not to do so you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So those things will get a way of doing that, and then those things that are the basis of that. Is that something?
Yes.
So that's where you see again it switches, but it doesn't. The principle remains. Caught up in this state of pure love, Gopal Kumar completely disregarded external conditions. That means he completely. So you can say, he's just acting according to his whim. But in his whim, he's not regarding any external situations,
yes, yes.
Any conditions. So this thing is where I'm whimsical and I consider.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So all of it has to be there. You can't just take which one you like. Right? You know, a duck has two ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. He wandered aimlessly like a madman, expressing his transcendental agitation by calling out such things as, "Where are you? Where are you, O mighty armed one?" 9. Once I thought I saw the Lord of my life standing before me, and I ran to take hold of him. Overjoyed by love, I fainted and fell to the ground. Gopal Kumar is transported to Vaikuntha, 10-19. At that moment, the associates of the Lord arrived in an airplane to take me to Vaikuntha. They at once put me on that plane and carried me away. And when I opened my eyes, I saw that everything was different. Shocked, I returned to full consciousness and saw them beside me, the same benefactors I had met before.
Mm-hmm.
The Vaikuntha Dutas, Gopal Kumar's instructors, had previously evoked in him the desire to see Vaikuntha, and had taught him the specific methods for approaching Vaikuntha. Now, by carrying him there, they were personally awarding him the success of his endeavors. The plane upon which they rode was wonderful, incomparable, indescribably beautiful, excelling in brilliance the most powerful, luminaries. The airplane from Vaikuntha glowed more brilliantly than the sun, right? Because what we see in the heavens, all the stars, those are the I think it's called the Vimanika Devas, the Devas that ride in Vimans. So they're actually great personality, pious personalities. Mm-hmm. So when it says here that this Viman outshone all the others,
yes,
then that's meaning, because it's a Vaikuntha Viman. It's not a heavenly Viman.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So even it outshines the sun. Yes.
Before, can we say before knowing the science of devotional service, the chanting of Gopakumar was at the level of Namabhas, and then after knowing...
No, because it's getting benefit, but the point is that you have to know how to... means... the point is applying it in our life, right? That's what we want to do. So we have to be very careful in applying what's happening in their life, that it's not puts them in a lesser position. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So he's chanting, very nicely, fully absorbed and like that. So there's this pure chanting. But it's just a matter of whether he's chanting in love of God or not. So the pure chanting is there. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As I reverently offered obeisances, those associates of the Lord embraced me and reassured me again and again. Putting forward hundreds of arguments, they wished to give me a bodily form like theirs. The associates of Narayan assured Gopakumar that he need not be so surprised and should not treat them with such reverence. They were his friends, they told him, and were now bringing him to Vaikuntha. They furthermore tried to convince him to accept a Vaikuntha body like theirs, with four arms. His human body, they argued, was not suitable for living in Vaikuntha. It would not be adequate for fully enjoying Vaikuntha life. Because with four hands, you can do so much more.
Yes.
That.
Not growing old.
Yeah, these things, but it's just that. In other words, he's accustomed to the two-arm form of worshiping. They're accustomed to the forearm. So it works. And if you're doing majesty, then you can do more far-out things. See, it's like just look at one of the differences here, right? In the material world, then the difficulty that comes up. Now, is driving and talking on the phone safe? No, right? Because you need both hands on the wheel, and you need, like this and all that. But in Vaikuntha, you have four arms. That means you could be driving, have one hand on the gear shift, and be talking on the phone. Hey. Right, so see like that. It's got so much more facility than
that's
here.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if the police pulled up and says, you can't talk on the phone, and then they see you have four hands.
Why not?
I got both hands on the steering wheel. Yeah, they probably figured they've been out too long. They need to go back back down to the station. Take a vacation.
Go get some donuts.
Yeah, go get some donuts. The airplane Vaikuntha glowed more brilliantly than the sun. In the material world, airplanes, vimanas, also transport the demigods to outer space. But those material airplanes are nothing like the one Gopakumar and his escorts were riding. Words could not describe how elegantly it was built, since it was manifested from the pure substance of the spiritual world. 13. I skipped the purport. Okay. The associates of Narayan assured... 14. But I refused their offer, and instead, by their influence, my own body, born in Govardhan, assumed qualities of beauty like theirs. Because by chanting the devotional process, the body actually becomes spiritualized, or it can become fully spiritual. It just depends upon the situation the Lord desires.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like that. So it can function in any of the spheres. That's not a problem. Because up to now, he's functioned in all the heavenly planets, Brahma Loka, Mahakala Pura, you know, Shiva Loka, so like that. So technically, why wouldn't he be able to function there? Because it's said by the power of his mantra that's happening. Gopakumar did not want to accept Surup Mukti, the form of liberation in which one's body is virtually indistinguishable from that of Lord Narayana. He was satisfied with the body of a resident of Govardhan. Nonetheless, his host blessed his body with qualities like theirs, making it eternal, purely spiritual, and effulgent. In addition, Gopakumar gained the mystic powers to do whatever he might want, powers that all residents of Vaikuntha naturally possess. But what it's interesting in the past times of Vaikuntha, even though all the residents have all the mystic cities, you don't hear of them using them.
No.
Right? You never hear that they're doing some far out things like that. They just don't use them. They just, you know, it's like when the ladies in Vaikuntha dust the walls, they use their hands in a duster. Right? They don't sit back over in a lounge chair drinking a pina colada, and by their mystic power it's all going on and stuff like that. Right? You know, they're actually doing it. So they're offering prayers, they're playing musical instruments, they're all doing it. So they have the mystic, but they're of no importance. Unless it can be engaged in Krishna's service, what's the point? So if it's not to be engaged, then what would you do with it?
Same with Prabhupada.
Yeah, so it's just the thing. It does. The idea is that you want to see how does Krishna want it to unfold. It's not about just getting something done. It's how does Krishna want to, how will the pastime unfold? How will it bring out Krishna's enjoyment? That's what you're trying to do. Okay? That's the... In their company, I travel along the path to Vaikuntha, a path inconceivable, supremely blissful, and distinct from everything in this world. My eyes fell upon all those worlds, cosmic regions, and coverings of the universe I had visited before, and I felt ashamed. The residents, the presiding deities of those places, were honoring me, faces upraised, palms joined above their heads. They vigorously cast flowers, parched rice, and other auspicious offerings upward towards me. So he had gone to all those places before, but he felt embarrassed that he was actually there and trying to be involved in what was going on. Right? Gopakumar had previously traveled to the abode of liberation by passing through the sphere of the sun, but the path of the present journey to Vaikuntha was even more exceptional. This was the path the pure devotees traverse when they leave this material world for the spiritual world. Unlike tiresome material roads, this path is supremely blissful, and it leads to the realm of Vaikuntha, a realm superior even to the abode of liberation. The same worlds Gopakumar had previously reached with great labor within the 14 planetary systems and beyond, he now easily passed through one after another. He passed the planets encircled by the Loka mountains and entered the part of the universe where sunlight cannot reach. Then he went again through each of the 8 covering shells of the universe. So again we see is here that they crossed that Loka mountain element. So even when it mentioned about Krishna and Arjuna, it's the same principle. You're within where the sun shines on all the planets that are there. Then you go beyond that. Because if we, Brahma Loka is a particular height, and with everything else is within the stem, so then there's beyond that. Right. On his first trip to Mahakalapura, the abode of liberation, Gopakumar had known well that the regions through which he was passing were all creations of material illusion. On the present journey, however, his realization was more advanced. He now understood that liberation itself is of little value. So he was ashamed even to look at the material attractions he had once found of interest. As he passed by all the planets, he had to tolerate the respectful greetings of Indra and the other rulers. So before he knew they were creations of the material illusion. But, you know, there was some value. But now he even sees liberation as useless. Yes, so then... Yes.
First world problems.
Hmm?
First world problems.
Yes. Yes. Like that.
Now his realization has changed.
Yes, and it's gone deeper. So even that liberation, even that, you know, those are illusion, and he's going beyond illusion. But even that, even liberation is not important.
Yes.
So considering that of value, that also is an illusion.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. It's automatic. Hmm? It's automatic. Liberation.
Yes. 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 18. Praised by cries of victory, and offered obeisances at every step. I moved on, and before my eyes I saw the abode of liberation, and how trifling it was, because before it seemed so great and magnificent, right? Because he hadn't come to that stage where, you know, where he was developing that love for the Lord. So then it seems special. But then when you get to that, it doesn't seem of any... Like Prabhupada was, when he visited Hong Kong, one gentleman there, you know, wealthy gentleman, he arranged that he would stay in the Hilton Hotel, mm-hmm. in the penthouse suite. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was basically like the top floor or something of the place. And then, always there, a journalist came to visit, you know, and they always have to ask the thing, you know, you're a spiritual, why, you know, this, or like this and that, you know. You know, you know, or, you know, could ask, you know, you're supposed to be looking for truth, why all the stupid questions, you know, but whatever, you know, it's just one of the things they just have to do to look like they're intelligent in the story. So Prabhupada explained about the position of Guru, revealing the Supreme Lord, and how one can never pay that debt back. So he says, even if this building was made out of solid gold, it wouldn't be enough. So don't worry that this is opulent. This is nothing. So in other words, the Prabhupada is just another building. We're thinking, oh, Hilton, oh, this, oh, that. You know, this is nothing. You know, it's like it still has a, you know, a 9-foot ceiling and, you know, stuff like that. Maybe a few rooms have a little bit higher, you know, like that. And so it's no big deal, right? You know, but if you go into, you see where Radharani lives in Braj or Nandabhavan, now you're talking about something nice to live in. These other places, these are, you know, he wouldn't even keep the cows there. You know, so monkeys could stay there, but not the cows. And traveling upward from there, I came to the world of Lord Shiva. There I bowed down to Lord Shiva and Uma with great pleasure, and he made me feel blissful with a mood of flood of gracious words filled with love and respect. But so up to that point, they're all respecting him. But when he gets up to Shiva's lord, then he's respecting because he's the greatest Vaishnava.
Yes, yes. And they recognize that.
Hmm?
And they recognize.
Yes.
Means Shiva.
Yes. Yeah, no, then they understand Shiva's position. And then I went on to that place whose garland of glories cannot be touched by words or by the mind, by Kunta. Gopakumar waits at the Vaikuntha entrance, 20-39. The associates of the Lord told me, please wait here for a moment outside. We should take permission from our Lord before bringing you into his city. So a moment there is a long time here, but there it's only a moment, so you don't have to worry. The Vaikuntha Dutas asked Gopakumar to stay behind in the gateway while they went inside Vaikuntha to secure permission for his entrance. This is the standard etiquette for introducing someone to the supreme opulence of Vaikuntha. Specific permission should be obtained for him either from Lord Vaikuntha not directly or from a proper deputized authority. 21. Stay calm and with your eyes illuminated by devotion for the Lord, count the waves of the vast ocean of wonders that flow here, one after another, wonders you have never seen or heard of before. Right, so there's only so much is explained about Vaikuntha because you can only relate to something that you have some concept of. Right? So those things that we can basically relate to, those are explained in the glories of Vaikuntha. Those that are beyond that, then they don't reveal. Gopakumar's escorts could see he was feeling distressed from being kept apart from his Lord. So they gave him the light-hearted advice to console him and keep his mind calm and his eyes busy with the work of counting the wonders that would pass before him. From the many amazing things he would see during his short wait at the Gopura of Vaikuntha, he would learn something about the unique glories of Lord Vaikunthanath, and that would strengthen his eagerness to have the Lord's darshan. He would learn about the methods of worshipping the Supreme Lord in awe and reverence, and moreover, the experience he would gain while waiting would teach him something about the many benefits of becoming a servant of Lord Narayana. Thus, right, because it's not just about us, so it's about what works with the Lord, the arrangements of the Lord, so therefore his waiting is also develops that kind of attitude. Thus, the short time in the gateway would be productive. Gopa Kumar's host were joking when they told him to count the wonderful things he would see, a task no easier than counting the waves in the ocean. Quote, how will my eyes have the power to do this? End quote. Gopa Kumar might ask. Anticipating this question, the Vaikuntha messengers told him that his eyes would be illuminated by Bhagavat Bhakti. Right? So through devotion one can see. So if one is not appreciating something, the devotees or something, that then see through the eyes of devotion, then one can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Now, is there the same some difference between Bhagavad Bhakti and Bhakti?
No, it's just that means Bhagavad Bhakti means this, that's what Bhakti is. You know, it's just like we tend to take things that have a longer name and then shorten it down.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So that's all. Bhakti just means it's Bhagavat Bhakti.
Yes.
Devotion to the Supreme Person. Because
yes.
Otherwise there may be devotion on, he's very devoted to his work.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. So that way bhakti is being used, but in a very limited state. Yes. So Bhagavat Bhakti, that's the state that has the ultimate glories.
Yes.
These others are special because of the connection to the Lord, but it's only the connection to the Lord that makes it special. It's not what's connected.
Yes.
Right, and what's connected also has its glories because it's the Lord's energy, but it's because of its connection to the Lord. It's not because of what we think of it or how we use it. Right? Gopa Kumar said, they went in and I stood outside in the pavilion of the entrance gate. I then beheld someone coming and entering that great city. He rode on a transcendental vehicle, endowed with the opulence of hundreds of universes. Music and other entertainment filled him with delight. He resembled the Supreme Lord in luster and beauty. The person Gopa Kumar saw entering on a Vaikuntha airplane was absorbed in ecstasy. He was surrounded by his own entourage, like the Supreme Lord, and by opulence greater than in hundreds of material universes. Right, so we're talking about, we just get happy if we get a very small amount of opulence here. So you're talking about unlimited opulence, of so many universes,
yes.
Like that. And we saw that the opulence in the coverings was much greater than what was inside.
Yes.
So you're taking this whole total and all that. This is just in this guy's, airplane. He was dressed and ornamented just like the Lord, and his companions were chanting his praises as if they were the Lord. So here it does show that they're wearing what the Lord wears.
Yes.
24. I thought he was Sri Hari, and I cried out again and again, O Lord, protect me, and bowed down to him. But he covered both his ears and gestured for me to stop. So now this is another advantage. You can cover your ears and gesture to stop at the same time.
Yeah.
25. I am a servant, he told me, a servant of the servants. And he moved on into the city. A short while later, another person came by, splendid with even more power and opulence. I looked at him and thought, surely this must be the Lord of the universe. He must have gone somewhere as a pastime, and now he's entering his own abode. Gopa Kumar was awestruck and not thinking clearly. He should have known that because his escorts had gone inside to inform Lord Narayan of his arrival, the Lord must be in Vaikuntha, not returning from elsewhere. But perhaps Gopa Kumar's escorts were simply unaware that the Lord had gone out for a short excursion. 27.
Mm. Just the purport of 24. It's a little bit funny.
Oh. Yeah, I wondered why there was no purport. This returning resident of Vaikuntha was shocked to hear himself addressed as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Covering his ears with his hands and sticking out his tongue, he waved another hand at Gopakumara to stop him. Right, it means this sticking out of the tongue means just like if there's a mistake. So it's not you stick out your tongue, meaning it's an insult.
No.
It's like you see Kali, they stick out the tongue where the tongue goes down. And that's that kind of sticking out your tongue. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It just means if you make a mistake, then you know someone sticks out their tongue to show that they've made a mistake. Like that. So he's covering his ears, sticking out his tongue, and telling him, you know. Even more convinced. Oh, when the person saw me bowing down with gestures of reverence and offering him prayers, as I had honored the one before, he affectionately spoke to me the same way and entered the city. Even more convinced that the second person was the Supreme Lord, Gopakumar offered him prayers with all sincerity. But just as the other returning Vaikunthavasi had done, this one called Gopakumar, "I am just a servant of the Lord," and hurried inside the city. 28. Many others came, some alone, others in pairs, and yet others together in large groups. And all of them, each more splendid than the last, entered the city of the Lord. 29. Seeing them as they passed by, I was immersed, as before, in an ocean of awe. Again and again I bowed down and offered prayers, and each time again they stopped me with nectarian, affectionate words. These Vaikuntha residents who Gopakumar saw entering the gateway last were army commanders and other important authorities, returning late because they had been busy with various responsibilities outside. The residents who had first passed Gopakumar had been in a hurry, so intent on the business that their opulence had little chance to show. So the residents he now saw going by seemed more and more opulent, one after another. Gopakumar, submerged in an ocean of reverence, failed to reason that these different persons could not all be Lord Narayan. Each of them was, in fact, supremely attractive. So even when Gopakumar finally realized that these were servants of God, not God himself, they still impressed him as such great personages that he spontaneously wanted to worship them. Some of them carried various items for performing their worship, and others simply hurried forward, intoxicated by the taste of the nectar of the devotion. Some of these servants of Lord Narayana were carrying paraphernalia for his worship, chamra fans and other objects, apparently for their individual services. Others weren't carrying anything, but were simply running in a frenzy of devotion, as if their only service was to be mad in love of God. In the following services, Gopakumar elaborates on how these Vaikunthavasis were engaged in various kinds of service. 31. All had their minds and senses. Oh, Chai Prabhu, where are you from? Okay, well, what's your service? Oh, running around in a mad frenzy for Krishna. Oh,
I'm
wow,
really good
nice.
At it.
Nice. Okay. All had their minds and senses busily absorbed, each in his own service, and all were decorated with a myriad of pleasures from ecstatic worship of the Lord. 32. Offering obeisances, reciting prayers, and doing all sorts of wonderful things. Those devotees, their every limb lending grace to their ornaments, looked fit to appear before the worship of the Lord. Right, so they're lending grace to the ornaments. Right, generally we wear ornaments so we'll look better. There, they make the ornaments look better. Right, interesting. They extolled the wonder of the great pastimes of the Lord, the husband of Lakshmi, as if his pastimes were those of some all-victorious king. And they were eager to see the Lord's lotus feet. Right? So here's indication of the mood of the majesty means and his greatness. It's like a king. Right? Yes. Yeah. Gopakumar was amazed at how these persons conducted themselves. They sang and danced without inhibition, expressing the glories of their victorious Lord. They told one another how the Lord favored his responsible servants by providing suitable homes and fine food and drink. Indeed, because Lord Narayan is the husband of the goddess of fortune, it is only fitting that he display his sovereignty with such opulence, and that his servants share in it. Right, so that means they have homes, they have facilities, they have everything, but all that will just remind them of the Lord.
Yes.
Right, because if you have a pastime, then you have, means all of it's going on nicely. What's the whole point of Krishna having a house if everybody doesn't have a house?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So he's with Lakshmi, but that has meaning because everybody's married.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So then they're all there and they all perform the services. So there'll be times when they're at home, times when they're there. So, you know, so they'll all be, you'll have this variety that's there. That will always be there. Some were with their families, some with an array of things, and others had left their families and things outside. Some Vaikunthavasis were entering the Lord's kingdom with their children, wives, and servants. Some rode in their own vehicles and carried their own umbrellas, chamaras, and weapons. Others chose to keep their families and baggage outside the gate of Vaikuntha. 35. Some had absorbed all that they had into themselves, and like beggars without possessions, they came alone, immersed in the moods of devotional meditation. The Vaikuntha devotees who preferred a more meditative mood of service hid within their own transcendental bodies the families and properties Lord Narayana had awarded them. So the devotees arriving in Vaikuntha were full in all powers and showed the full range of devotional variegatedness in their pastimes, of worshipping the Supreme Lord in perfect ecstasy. So all different kinds of moods are there, and they're all being accommodated. About that, right? 36. Some assume forms different at different times with all kinds of ornaments, bodily features and ways of acting, all exceedingly attractive. The Vaikuntha devotees not only acted in many different ways, but also assumed many different forms, including even those of animals, birds, and trees. Some devotees would show one form for some time and then change into another. Some appeared as humans, some as monkeys, demigods, demons, or sages, and some bore the signs of persons initiated into the behavior of the Varnashram system. The residents of Vaikuntha are in fact purely transcendental persons. The substance of their bodies is unalloyed Satchitananda. So these residents never belong to the human or any other material species, nor to the limited designations of varnas and ashrams. Still, for the Supreme Lord's pleasure, they may assume or relinquish any form at any time. Some of them, therefore, appeared before Gopakumar like members of Vedic society, wearing the signs of particular ashrams and varnas. Right, so that's there in the spiritual world. Because we see it in Braj, that they definitely have all these different things. Some wore sacred threads like initiated Brahmins, indicating that they chanted mantras for worshipping the Lord. And they carried kusa grass and kamandalus in their hands, wore tulsi malas on their necks, and had tilak on their foreheads. Right, so when Prabhupada said the devotees look like they're coming from Vaikuntha, because in Vaikuntha, then some dress in this way. So it's not a problem. Some looked like Indra, Chandra, other demigods. Some had three eyes, or four heads, or four arms, or eight, or 1,000 faces. Some of the Vaikuntha residents looked like the king of heaven, Indra, with 1,000 eyes on their bodies and thunderbolt weapons in their hands. Others appeared like the gods of the moon, sun, fire, and wind. These demigods headed by Indra are not actually incarnations of the Supreme Lord like Shiva and Brahma, or especially empowered guna avatars. If required for service to Lord Narayana, the Vaikuntha Vasis can assume the exact forms of ordinary demigods. But in power incarnations and direct expansions of Narayana, such as Ananta Sesh, the Vaikuntha Vasis can only emulate, to the extent of copying certain of their bodily features. Right? But these demigods, they can just turn into them. But then the Lord and his expansions, then that they can only give certain aspects to, give the flavor. Right? Later on, I shall explain to you the reason for this extreme variety of appearances. For those who enjoy the moods of devotion to Krishna, is there anything not beautiful? In Vaikuntha, the liberation of Sarupa, having a form similar to that of the Supreme Lord, is available to everyone. We may reasonably expect, therefore, that all the Vaikuntha residents should have four arms and look like Lord Narayana. Why then did some of them look like humans, monkeys, and all sorts of other forms of life? Gopakumar later heard from Narad Muni the definitive philosophical explanation for this variety. And in the course of their present narration, Gopakumar will relate that to his own student. But even granting that there is a reason for varieties of bodies in Vaikuntha, why should Lord Narayana's devotee assume ugly bodies like those of monkeys? In response, it may be said that we know from common worldly experience that anyone who has intense attraction to something cannot help but see that thing as beautiful, no matter what it is. This is also true in the spiritual level. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Lord and his devotees be so attracted to persons like Hanuman and Jambavan? Mm-hmm. Right, so even though they would take these different forms that here we might see as higher or lower or better or not, mm-hmm. there they're all perfect because they're all in connection to the Lord. So that there's some way that they're all connected to the Lord, and that's the reason they're doing it. The difficulty in describing Vaikuntha's glories, verses 40 to 55. The residents of Vaikuntha transcend everything material. For persons within the material creation, the manifold glories of those residents and of the Vaikuntha world and its master are beyond analogy and beyond the power of words to describe. So those are here in the material creation, it's beyond words. So we're getting some words here just to give an indication, but it's the empowering with the chit potency that gives us some understanding. Yes. Otherwise, there aren't words to describe. Yes. It's just beyond. It's just, you know, the potency, the amazement of it is just so great. Mm-hmm. Normally, the varieties of life forms in any realm indicate a vast hierarchy of relative superiority and inferiority, as Gopakumar saw among the residents of heaven. Such a hierarchy might seem out of place in Vaikuntha, where everyone should be equal in the platform of Satchitananda. Gopakumar wants to explain carefully to his student the real situation, but is afraid of committing offenses by applying material examples to the transcendental reality of Vaikuntha. Therefore, he first gives a disclaimer. Comparisons to things of the known world may help neophytes begin to understand the spiritual world, but can never do full justice to that higher reality. Since the categories of spiritual existence are totally different from those of the material world, spiritually immature intelligence has no power to comprehend them directly. Right? So examples are given so that it gives us an idea of what's happening, right? Because it's beyond. So therefore, the example that's given may have the faults that it doesn't fully represent. But the idea gives, and it gives an idea to, it gives something for someone who doesn't have the conception, an ability to have a general idea of it by relating it to something that's similar. Right? That's one of the, I don't know the technical terms, but that's actually how we think. Right, we think of things in connection with stuff that we know. So if I tell you something new, you'll go back and try to relate it to things you know that are, you know, that have that kind of thing. Oh, it's very big, so you think of big things, you know, but it's very strong, and then you think of strong things. And like this, so you just go on and, you know, at the end of the day, so it's a titanium elephant, you know, like that, you know, so, you understand? So we do that. That's just how the mind works. So then the idea is to if it's connected to Krishna, then it works perfectly. If it's not connected to Krishna, then you get a mundane effect. Right? So here it's a problem. But in the spiritual world, then it's not a problem. So even there, it'll be compared to those things that they can relate to, according to their particular rasa and that. That's why Mother Jashoda may see the gopis doing certain things, or the cowherd boys may see doing certain things, but they'll just think that they're just young girls being goofy. Like that. They don't catch that they're actually, how you say, through sign language and other things, establishing a rendezvous with Krishna and telling what place, what time. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because in Mother Jashoda's mind, Krishna's just a boy, so he just does boy stuff. He's not involved with these girls and all that. That's why she engages them. They're all married ladies, and so they're senior to him. So he's just the kid, and they all, as moms, take care. That's how she sees. Right? So that's the whole point. But because of the particular Rati, you see that aspect of Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. So he can say, no, but what if you want to see the whole thing? That's what Arjuna is looking at.
Yeah,
and it doesn't work out so good.
Well, the Yashoda also sees it.
Yeah, and it just bewilders. So that's the whole idea, is that what it is that attracts you to Krishna, that's the part that you know. And you'll judge everything according to that, which works fine. Mm-hmm. So on the spiritual platform, it's perfect. The material world, it just binds you here and then just makes for another birth.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I'm saying? So the spiritual world is personal, has all the different things. In other words, why do people have houses and families and belongings? Because they do in the spiritual world. But here, it's a source of attachment, control, enjoyment. There, it's just service to Krishna.
And in the spiritual world, they are all very enthusiastic to do service.
Yes, they're always, because there's no lethargy, there's no ignorance.
No.
So there's no laziness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not bothered by all the things, hunger, thirst, fatigue.
Yes.
So they don't get tired. It's just the past time, in other words, here we stop something because either we've mechanically finished what we're doing,
yes,
or we get tired.
Yes.
There, a particular aspect or endeavor in the pastime stops because the particular taste that is the goal of that endeavor is obtained.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So as soon as one thing is obtained from that, then it goes into the next. That's where the variety comes. Not because you're tired of it, it gets boring or that. It's just that's been attained, now something else.
Yes.
Right? So we can see is that that's the original, then the reflection here. And so because of the mode of ignorance, how will we know how to do this? So the modes of nature then generate. So even the variety we have there and the enthusiasm, the people's endeavor we have is still again by the modes. So everything that goes on, everything you read in the newspaper or something that's new and fresh and, you know, different, that's still the modes of nature. They're creating it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So it just keeps going. Like that. The modes do that. Otherwise, then it won't. It won't. How would you be happy? Right? The jiva can't be happy because where's the variety? Where's the happiness coming from variety? Therefore, then, all these things happen. Depending on how much ignorance or passion or something, there, then the variety changes more or less often. Like you see in really simple environments, you know, on the daily thing is that you have your daily, what you do, and there's minor varieties within it.
Mm-hmm.
So the seasons change, the vegetables change, weather changes, your clothes change.
Yes.
But it's very subtle, but it goes. And then you have festivals where at this festival you do certain things. You know, there's certain foods for a particular festival or certain activities.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, the variety is created. Very sattvic, you know, very stable and everything like that. But as you increase the passion and these, then the variety happens more quickly.
Yes.
And as you add ignorance, then the variety becomes really weird, you know. And so that becomes the...
Yes.
You know, it's just like... For you could say, since time immemorial, if they're having a dance thing and someone wants to really show off some dancing, they go out in the middle of where everyone's dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone steps back while they dance and everything, and everyone's mm-hmm. impressed. Now you got to get up on a table or up on a bar or something like that, something stupid. Like, how much space is there? How much can you dance, right? So, but, you know, it just becomes weird because it's different because everyone dances on the floor, so you got to do something else. Why don't they try dancing on the ceiling? Now, that would catch attention.
There's a song about that.
Lionel Richie.
Huh? Oh.
Lionel Richie made a song about that.
Dancing on the ceiling.
Yes.
What about the walls? How did he get to the ceiling?
I think actually, isn't the video the that video. They actually...
Oh, they just turned
actually,
it upside down.
Yeah, so they do like that, but the camera is stuck through the room, so it looks like he just walks up the wall and then into the scene. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think as if it's just the camera moving, so it's here and they just turn him upside down, so that, or if the room's moving, but the camera's there, so it goes and then it looks like he's...
Yeah, the room is actually...
Okay, he just walks on. But is he dancing? He is. Okay, so he's not just walking.
can't really remember so well.
He actually dances on the wall too.
Okay.
But the point is when he's dancing on the ceiling, it's actually the floor. When he's dancing on the wall, it's the floor.
Yes, that's the
So technically, he's only dancing on the floor.
He's just trying to trick us.
Yes.
Richie can't trust him.
Nevertheless, my dear Brahmana, you are a resident of the material world and your intelligence is confined because you can see only matter. Therefore, I say, it is like this, so that by material examples you might understand various things more easily. May Lord Hari forgive this offense. So technically, it's like you do those things just to make people understand. So, you know, but otherwise, it's actually offensive to try to compare the spiritual world to anything in the material world. Right, because we saw even an airplane from the spiritual world has, was more opulent than the whole material world, or even hundreds of material worlds, like that. And that's just the airplane, you know. Let alone the people in the airplane, and, right? You know, because the normal thing is the guy drives up in the fancy car. The guy gets out of the car, looks fancier than the car, right? The guy, you know, the fancy car drove up, you know, the red carpet, the door, you know, opens and out gets this bum, you know, like that. You think, what's going on here? You know, it just wouldn't match really well.
You'd have to be very wealthy.
Yeah. An attempt to describe spiritual existence in material terms is, strictly speaking, inappropriate and impossible. Yet, if a conditioned soul can be even a little attracted by words evoking some of the glories of Vaikuntha, and if he can be encouraged to take up the task of spiritual development, the impossible can indeed become possible. Mm-hmm. Right, so, for the benefit of others, then one gives these examples, then that's fine. That works. Any honest attempt to enlighten the conditioned soul with Vaikuntha consciousness is worthwhile and praiseworthy. Even though our thinking may now be covered by concepts of matter and conditioned life, pure Vaishnavas can guide us gradually to transcendental understanding. Mm-hmm. We know from ordinary experience what a king is, so if we can further appreciate the personality of Godhead as the supreme king, we have begun to understand his glories. You know, so we know the king is great, so then, does that make sense? So then it all works. Then it works very nicely. And then, you know, so that should work for general. You know, then you have individuals have issues there, this and that, so then he just becomes the biggest of whatever's important to them. Though there seem to be hierarchies in Vaikuntha, its residents all enjoy equally among themselves. In this, there is no contradiction. Right? Everybody is fully happy and fully satisfied. Yes. But there is a hierarchy on who's senior, who's junior. Because otherwise, how do you perform a pastime if everybody's exactly equal? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
You know, how would it work
it's
out?
Not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, so there has to be who's doing what.
Yes.
Like that. The residents of Vaikuntha are equal because all of them can do anything they want. That some of them appear greater than others is not contradictory, because all these devotees show their natural opulence and power to different degrees by their own free choice. Right? So it's because of their choice that they're doing a particular service and all that. That's there. That's there that they can do. So So they're happy like that. Does this make some sense?
Yes.
Absent among them are faults like envy, and their innate good qualities ever shine forth by the thousands. So envy is not there. So if someone is manifesting in a particular time some greater opulence or greater position or greater anything, it doesn't matter because it's all for Krishna. So then it's something special, and another time they'll manifest. Especially you can see here that there are devotees, and they can take on different forms or things like that. You know, so if you thought the monkey was good, you know, check out the next form, right? You know. You know, so they can just keep doing whatever they like, you know?
Is this similar to recently we were talking about how the senses can do different, like a smell can become a shape or a sound, you know?
Yeah. It means, just like you say, the equation is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just you know, to say, so the whole thing is there, the music is beautiful, or the food is beautiful, like that. I don't know if it's, I mean, it may be, in Europe they use it, you see it here in India, a higher class, they eat something that's really well cooked and they'll say it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
You get that in Europe?
Yes,
much.
In
I would
France.
Expect it, at least in
yes,
France.
In France yes.
Like that. You know. So you get, so the whole point is it's it can be perceived even here, and you're still just using the one sense. But there is actually any sense is interchangeable. But generally you see with your eyes, you smell with your nose, you know, it just works out better. You know, and also when it's saying those that change, means anybody could, but many we see, most of the descriptions, they all prefer to in the surup that's the same form as Vishnu. But it appears that there are those that take all these other forms and create so much other variety.
Yes.
So if everybody was doing that, then it would be the Vaikuntha circus, right? You know, but here it's not. So it's that, and then you have all these other. So the point is, it's pointing out is that the individuality that's there, but it's all consistent in this pure devotion,
yes.
Right? And everybody's engaged according to their nature, and so everybody's fully satisfied.
And everybody's cooperating.
Yes.
It's not
yeah.
about.
Yeah, because it's not about them; it's about what they can do together.
No false ego.
Yeah, no false ego. Yeah, no false ego at all. It's all just yeah. real ego. I'm yeah. serving the Lord, so anybody's, and the goal is to serve the Lord. Anybody's serving then. You know, if someone takes a prominence, you just become the servant. When he becomes prominent, you become the servant. So it doesn't matter. It's the Lord's being served, and so then there's a hierarchy. So wherever the hierarchy, if it's something you're doing, everybody else may be in the hierarchy behind you. And then someone else's, it's an area where they're prominent, then the hierarchy goes behind them. So
sounds pretty nice.
So it's because it's also focused on the Lord, so even these things won't be noticed. The superficial appearance of superior and inferior classes among the residents of Vaikuntha cannot cause dissatisfaction there, because the Vaikuntha Vasis are all faultless. They are never affected by jealousy, the inability to tolerate the superiority of others. They never quarrel and never disrespect anyone. Rather, they are eternally full in all good qualities, including friendship, humility, and respect. Material qualities may also be considered eternal in the sense that material nature itself is eternal. But the qualities of the residents of Vaikuntha are not only eternal, nitya, but also real, satya. They are not products of maya. So because one may say, well, yeah, but the material world, if you're looking at it from certain perspectives, the energy is eternal. Mm-hmm. And that the creation is going on and destroyed, and that each creation happens like the one before.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's not a problem. That if he goes out and goes back into the universe, and if it's a different universe technically, because they change every 3/4 of a second, and we notice that the conversation is going on a lot longer than that, so the universe he goes back into is actually not the same universe necessarily,
yeah.
Right? But each one is created like the previous one,
yeah.
Like that. It's just standard. It's always that way. You know, that's the point. The 8,400,000 is always like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the thing. It's always the same. So then that way you can say that aspect is eternal. But the point is, being here is the qualities that they have are real. They're not products of Maya. Maya creates them. So they're not actually that thing, because it will transform into something else. We say, okay, this is a chair. But in time it won't be a chair anymore. Those elements of earth, water, fire, air, ether, they'll all transform and take another shape. You know, or be back in the, you know, the coverings of the universe as just, you know, surplus, you know, element. So the forms in that are illusory because Maya creates them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But even using those illusory aspects in the Lord's service, then they take on that, they take on the nature of substance. Because
mm-hmm.
substance is connected to Krishna. So Maya doing her service is devotional service. Well, one has to remember, Maya is not in Maya.
Yes.
Right? She's doing service to Krishna. Right? So we see as Gauri and Shiva, they're there, husband and wife, just serving the Lord, doing Harinam Sankirtan, discussing about Krishna. Right? And then doing their occupation. Right? In other words, that's their ashram duties. And then their occupation is, then Shiva has his, you know, he He takes care of those that no one else wants to take care of. He puts people that are, you know, in the Brahman back into the material world. He destroys the material world. You know, so do all that. So it's, how you say? Husband-wife cooperation. She makes it, he destroys it.
Is it that Lord Brahma manufactures it, but Maya arranges it?
It's her potencies. In other words, he's the engineer, but he's working with already arranged ingredients to do it. See, it's like if I bring a whole pile of styrofoam, huge trucks roll up and pour out, and big piles are made, and engineers are walking around with their hats and looking very serious. Can they build a big building out of this? No. So the point is the potency in the earth, water, fire, air, and ether that Brahma can create with is still ruled by the laws that govern.
Yeah.
It means that govern her, and that's given by the Supreme Lord. So she works within the direction of the Lord. Right, so he's the engineer, you could say. We say he's the creator, but technically he's the engineer. But how that all works and the modes and all that Maya gets done. You know, it's just like you cook, but technically something else is making the cooking work.
Yeah.
You know, but you're given the credit that you cooked. But the thing is it's actually is that the transformation of the vegetables from hard to soft and. You know, all these different things. That the material. That's the material cause. Like Krishna is the efficient cause. She's the material cause. We're only instrumental. We're just there. You know, pushing the spoon in the pot. Right.
Yes.
So therefore, we're technically just the instrumental.
Yes.
But we think we're the efficient cause.
Yes.
You know, we think we're everything. Right. The qualities of the Vaikuntha Vasis are swabhavika, the natural spontaneous expressions of spiritual personality. So it is them. So that's what we're saying, when the devotees develop qualities of humility, and that's their qualities. While the karmis may be showing those things, but those are borrowed qualities, they're not theirs. You know. So that's the whole thing. So so we're used to that borrowed qualities. Someone borrowed, you know, has hired this kind of car, someone else hires a better kind of car, so we'll consider the other guy superior, right? But the point is it's a hired car, but the devotee has that car, it's their car, it's not hired. So the qualities of devotees, those aren't hired, right? So as we advance in devotional services, more and more of these transcendental qualities are manifest. As Lord Brahma describes in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3:15-19, when the Lord of Bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon and the cuckoo, the crane and the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. So they're all singing the glories of the Lord, but when the bee is singing in his high, the king of bees highs in his high pitch, they all stop to listen to what the glories he's describing. Like that. Then another, although flowering plants like the mandara, kunda, kurabaka, and utpala, the champa, arna, punaga, and nageshwara, boko, lily, and parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulsi, for Tulsi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulsi leaves. Right, that he's always wearing. And then these other garlands, he'll, you know, like that. But she's the top of all. Like that. So that's why it's some, even in the puja, if you don't have flowers or that, you can just offer Tulsi. Right? So the Tulsi Manjari is the best of flowers. Right? And then the others are all the varieties of uniqueness that you can get and smells. But actually Tulsi is the you know, embodiment of.
So Maharaj recognize some hierarchy.
Hierarchy, yeah, there's always a hierarchy.
Yes.
Otherwise how do you have how do you want to improve unless there's a hierarchy? How do it means others are doing something more and special, and then You know, even if you just say everyone's equal and they're doing, but at the time when someone's leading, then there's a hierarchy. Right? So it's always adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
There's always doing that. Yes.
Can we also say that hierarchy is necessary for manifesting vishesha?
Yes. Yes. It would be one of the aspects of vishesha. You know, so you can just have, because the Lord's unlimited, so therefore you can have unlimited manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
Gopa Kumar's further description of his own experience of Vaikuntha will establish that the pigeons and other creatures mentioned by Brahma are all personal associates of Lord Narayana. 46. Superficially, those residents of Vaikuntha may appear like sense enjoyers of the material realm, but in fact their feet are worshipped by liberated souls. There is no valid reason to suspect that the devotees of Vaikuntha are ever addicted to the paltry enjoyment provided by material senses. Right? Remember when Gopakumar was going out in the material world, just that he had had an interest in it, he felt ashamed.
Yes.
You know, even though these realms are way beyond anything that you get here.
Yes.
But still, he felt ashamed, you know, just being in the Vaikuntha airplane.
Yes.
And then comparing the material world to the Vaikuntha airplane. So therefore, going through all these levels and that, then he could understand this, it's so much greater. So that's why it's saying it's not a valid reason to suspect, because
mm-hmm.
we've already saw that it's beyond anything there. So therefore, this happiness must be something different,
yes.
something special, so it must be connected to the Lord.
Yes.
Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-17-20, Lord Brahma also points this out in his description of Vaikuntha. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives, and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence in the water of blossoming madhvi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. In other words, even while enjoying wonderfully, the devotees in Vaikuntha are always absorbed in the ecstasy of worshipping the personality of Godhead. The madhvi flower blooms during the spring, when the attraction of sense pleasures reaches a peak. Even though such attractions may stimulate the senses of the devotees, this does not distract them from their devotional service. So it's not that the sense doesn't become activated, but it's not activated for sense gratification.
Yes.
It just becomes inspired, then it engages in service.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, just like, let's say, you go into the kitchen and there's a nice smell.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's, oh, this is for Krishna. It's nice. You get inspired. Mm-hmm. Something's going on. Something's happening nicely for Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So it doesn't distract.
Yes.
On the material platform, we go, wow, that smells good. When's dinner? You know, like that kind of thing. But no, it's just a matter of just sort of thinking, wow, some nice service is going on. These devotees are really paying attention. They're applying themselves. You get these proper fragrances. Because if you do cook properly, you get a good smell. You don't cook properly, you don't get a good smell. Unless, of course, you're properly deep frying stinky tofu, you'll get a bad smell anyway. Right? Our friend's not here. He could tell us the glories of stinky tofu. Right? Is that? Yeah. Vaikuntha is full of devotees who seem never to do anything but bow down at the feet of Lord Hari. Although while traveling in their airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold, they are crowded by their concerts. Right? Because it means it's comfortable. Right, so it's not you say, oh, big huge thing where, you know, you're sitting this side and there, they're sitting in there nicely. So it says they're crowded by their consorts, who have large hips and beautiful smiling faces. Those Vaikuntha residents cannot be stimulated to passion by such mirth and beautiful charms. So the feminine beauty and all that just adds to the interest to serve the Lord. Because the point is all the energy is to serve the Lord, right? All of his opulence. So then they're manifesting the feminine opulence. So their beauty and everything. So it just stimulates one to think more of Krishna and everything like that. It doesn't stimulate one to passion.
Yes.
Here, then that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spiritual world, that's not the problem.
Yes.
Right? So that's how you can see it. There's husbands, wives, there's, oh, but it's not a problem. They're all just absorbed in the Lord.
Yes.
Karmis, jnanis, and yogis cannot hope to attain anything for sense gratification like what the devotees of Vaikuntha enjoy. So even here who tries the most can't get what they have. All this enjoyment, however, never degrades the Vaikuntha devotees from the mode of pure goodness, because they are perfectly fixed in the loving service of Lord Narayana. So because they're always fixed there, it won't degrade. It's just something more to add in Krishna's service. It's just, it gets better and better, nicer and nicer. But they're not interested for themselves. So it works out perfectly. So, okay, so we'll stop there. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.